The book of John is written in a simpler form of Greek, an easy flowing Greek. The book of Luke, just before John, was written in more sophisticated language, he being a doctor. Mark is more of a crude type of Greek that is written. And then Matthew was probably written in Hebrew, where we begin to see the nativity scene and we celebrate and we sing about that Jesus came and was born among men. But the question becomes to many, who is this Jesus Christ? Who exactly is he that lived 33 years among us? You'll hear scholars debate, and you'll hear many teachings and many religions teaching him in a different way. But John writes in a simple Greek, and he writes very simply, but here's the thing. It is incredibly deeply profound. That which is written simply is incredibly deeply profound. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he can write such complicated and such depth of theology using just a couple of sentences. Just in John chapter 1, verse 1, volumes and volumes and volumes of books have been written. Thick books. Just dealing with the first verse that goes throughout and runs throughout all of Scripture. John's point is this. If you were to understand who Jesus Christ is, to his readers, he's explaining, this is the guy that I walked with on earth. This is the man in whom we saw. And here's what I want you to understand about him. To not believe John, to not believe Scripture, is simply to believe your own opinion and to bring your own opinion into it. And many people have doubted Scripture and said it was just written by men. But here Scripture declares of itself that it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As men sat down and wrote. John didn't write just this particular book. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. So John was very close to Christ. So as John reaches out, he says that he wants us to know who Christ is in his entirety, not in depth necessarily, because that would take all of eternity. But he wants us to understand and come to understand, first of all, that Jesus Christ was before creation, number one. Jesus Christ existed before creation. Number two, Jesus Christ in creation. He created all things. And that number three, Jesus Christ in the new creation. What happens to someone when they believe on his name? And so here we see the person of Christ. We talked about his glory. We sang about his glory and his almighty power and who he is. But there can only be this. I can say the words to you. You can read the words in Scripture. But my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come and open your eyes and ears that you may see him and be saved. And that renewed again for those of us that are saved. How the depth of the Scripture and hours upon hours, me looking over this, renewed again and enlightened again and rejoicing again about who Jesus Christ is, the very person. John is explaining this. We will see more of it in Scripture. That in fact, there is a Trinitarian God. It is God, not gods. He is one God in three persons. And the unbelief of the Jews specifically, and yes, the rest of the world, but the unbelief of the Jews to remove him from the Trinity as the Son of God, to remove him would mean that there is no God and that there is no Godhead. And it is a mystery upon mystery that we could say in the Trinity that there is one God in three persons. And trust me, Theologians have gone insane over trying to understand this great mystery. But don't be confounded by mystery. There are many mysteries in the world. There are many mysteries in how the body works. There are many mysteries on how the earth works. There are many mysteries that even scientists cannot even put their brain around it, the most brilliant of them all. Get used to mystery. We do not use mystery as an excuse, but there is many things that are mysterious, and the most mysterious of them all is that he is God. But John wants to point out the second person of the Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he's looking at the second person specifically who came in the flesh. Who is this man? Who does he think he is? You know why they crucified Jesus Christ? Because he claimed to be God. And he made himself equal with God. This is the person of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the second person of the Trinity, the one who was born among men, who is he? Specifically, John begins to declare in these words, in the verses 1 through 2, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, meaning Jesus Christ, was with God. And then he says, and the Word was God. And then he says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And so if you take these phrases, you look at in the beginning was the Word. Number one, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. It's speaking of his eternal existence. So when we look at Jesus Christ, he says he had an eternal existence. When I was born, when I was conceived in my mother's womb, I did not exist before that. But before Jesus Christ came to earth, even in the womb of Mary, he had already existed in eternity past. This is what John is saying. In the beginning was the Word. Now, this language is very familiar. Where do you also see this language? It's in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that we see this Word that is coming forth in all of his power and his might, that Jesus Christ existed in eternity past. He was neither made. He was neither conceived. None of these things. Jesus Christ has always been, is what John is saying. But he specifically says, there at the point, in the beginning of the earth, in the beginning of the sun, in the beginning of the solar system, in the beginning of all the galaxies that you see in the heavens, there Jesus Christ already existed. And then he says in the second line, and the Word was with God. Here we see his coexistence. First he says his eternal existence. He's always been. There was never a time that he was not. But then he says the Word was with God in his coexistence. He, in essence, is saying this is the part where the Trinity comes alive. But he specifically talks about the fact that he is with the Father, so that when he lived in eternity past, who was he with? He was with the Father. The second person of the Trinity, yes, with the third person, the Holy Spirit, but specifically he points out that he was with the Father. That he was one in nature with him. He was one in essence with him. In this three persons, he was in the beginning with God. The Word with God specifically means face to face, that he was equal. In Greek, it is proston theon. And it has the idea that he was equal with him and had an intimate relationship with the Father. You will hear Christ say this all through, you see me, you see the Father. We are one in nature. We are one in essence, and we are one in will. Though we are two people, though that there are three persons in the Trinity, yet we are one God, the Godhead. Jesus said this in John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, Father, when he's praying just before he goes to the cross, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world even existed. Do you see what Christ is saying there? Father, I was with you not only at the beginning of creation, but all of eternity. And even before the world existed, now bring me back to your glory in this way. We also see in the third line, and the Word, and this is the ultimate statement, he was not just eternally existent in his existence, but that he was coexistent with the Father in the Trinity, equal in nature, will, and essence, but yet distinct person. And then he says, and the Word was God. What is it saying here? It's saying his own self-existence, his aseity. The doctrine of what we mean by the aseity is that he self-exists. He is an uncaused cause, uncreated. Jesus said of himself, I am the first and the last. In eternity, however, it doesn't have a beginning in eternity. And it doesn't have an end. But as far as we're concerned in our mind, Jesus was the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, who was and is to come. Paul speaks in Colossians 2:9, for he says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells bodily in him. All the fullness, not part deity, not just a prophet, not just an angel, whatever people say. But indeed that he was a person and that all of the Godhood dwelled in him. The whole fullness of it. And that is why Thomas doubted, do you remember? And he said, unless I see him and touch the nail prints on his hand and touch his side, I will not believe. And then Christ appears before him. Thomas reaches out to touch him. And what was his response? My Lord and my God. These were words that were dangerous in Israel at the time. But do you see that what John is saying? Jesus, this Jesus that you celebrate in the manger, you want to know something about him? Oh, he existed way before time. He existed before the earth. Who is this Jesus? Oh, he coexisted with the Father. He is equal in nature and in essence and in will with the Father. And the Holy Spirit. Who is this Jesus? Oh, he is self-existent. He is an uncaused cause. Nothing created the actual person of Jesus Christ. Yes, we will see he came in the flesh, but he existed as the person, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. There was never a time he was not. He self-existed. Number two, we see that Jesus Christ, and then he brings up number two, Jesus Christ in creation. In verses 3-5, and here's the astounding statements. John is thinking, you mean this person that I walked with, that I ate with, that I touched, that I leaned upon my head upon his bosom at the Last Supper, this man that I saw before me, indeed was the creator of all the universe and all that exist? But this is what John says. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John makes the statement that, yes, he existed in eternity past, but you must understand that through the Father and through cooperation with the Father and the Holy Spirit, there in Genesis 1, there is Jesus. And what is he doing? He's creating. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is Jesus Christ. He's there. He's active. He's continuous in all that he's doing. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 1:15 and 17. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Doesn't mean firstborn. Doesn't mean that he is the first created. No, it would have said that then. But it is an actual title. Remember, this is an actual title, and it is stating Christ's preeminence above all creation. Why? Because he was the one who created. For by him, and says in verse 16 of Colossians 1, for by him all things were created. What things? All things in heaven and earth. As far as you could imagine, all the things that are in the heavenly realms, all things that you see in the stars and all the planets and all the alignment, that's Jesus Christ. What about on earth? Whether there are thrones, kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers, whoever it may be, or dominions or rulers or all authorities, all things were created through him. Get this. And for him. For Jesus Christ. He created Donald Trump. He created Joe Biden. He created Justin Trudeau. He created Xi Jinping of Russia. He created Vladimir Putin. He created everything. He created you. The very person of Jesus Christ is actually your creator. This is what John is saying. Yet he's the most blasphemed name I've ever heard of in these days. People loosely using his name as a cuss word. How dare you use you are actually, every time it comes out of your mouth, you're using your very creator in a very blasphemous ways. Do you not know your creator? And he is before all things. Go back to verse 1. In John 1:1, he is before all things. And in him, everything in all creation holds together. What would happen if Christ was to let go? The stars and the planets and everything that you know from atoms, quarks, whatever it may be, you can go down to the smallest to the biggest. If he was to let go, nothing would exist. All things would cease to exist. This is the power of Jesus Christ. Christ is the source and the cause of all that existed, and without him, nothing would exist, is what John is saying. What a weighty statement. I exist, I breathe, and I have my being because of Jesus Christ. The moment I was conceived in my mother's womb, how was that possible? Because of the power of Jesus Christ in his creation. Hebrews said the world was made through him. Hebrews chapter 1, listen to what the author of Hebrews says. Long ago, and in many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, such as Isaiah, Moses, Abraham, on and on. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how? By his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus said, when you see me and you hear me, you hear the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. All that I am in my nature and in my essence and in my will, you will see the Father. There is no difference. Though we are two persons, there you will see the Father in all that I do. There is no distinction between him and me other than persons. That he came to do his Father's will. And he upholds the universe by the, notice what it says here in verse 3, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Again, when you see the sun, how does it stay where it's staying? How does the earth go on its axis, round and round? How does it circle the sun? And even this time of the year, we are the furthest away from the sun. Any further, we would freeze to death. Any closer, we would burn up to death. How does the oxygen stay in pure mixture? How is it that a baby is born time after time? How is it the world goes on and on and on? Because it is Jesus Christ. Because by the word of his power, he upholds the entire universe. And because of him, everything that we know, it all holds together in one person, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. He's the creator. The Father was involved. The Spirit of God hovered above the waters and gave breath of life. Yes, those things are true, but John is concentrating specifically this man, Jesus Christ. He was before all time. He was with the Father, coexisted with the Father, and he is self-existent within himself. Why? Because he is God. And not only is he God, he created all things. And not only did he create all things, everything is held together by him. Everything in the universe is upheld by him and by his very power. Therefore, we must come to this conclusion, two conclusions. This is what John does. Beautiful. John comes to a point where he says, he's the life, he's the light. He's the life, he's the light. What gives me life physically? He says, Jesus Christ. He created your heart. He created your brain. He created your entire body. He created everything that exists within you. He creates the oxygen in the air in which I breathe into my very lungs and have life. How does he give life? He gives life to all with his words. What did it say in Genesis? In the moment of creation, and Jesus Christ is there, and John said he's creating as God. He's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. In all creation, here's what you hear, words. Words. And God said. And God said. There was light. There was animals. There was plants. There were sea creatures. And God said all of these things. And then when it comes to us, he forms man, Adam and Eve. He forms Adam, first of all, out of the dust of the earth. And there is Adam. And what did he do? He breathes life into him. One of the most visual things I could think of is in Ezekiel chapter 37. You ever heard of the Valley of Bones? Ezekiel is caught up in a vision. And there in this vision, God shows him, because it is the absolute waste of Israel as God had punished them. But Israel said, our bones are dry. Will we ever live again? This is both speaking physically and spiritually throughout Scripture. But then God comes to Ezekiel and he brings him in a vision. And there Ezekiel's walking among the millions upon millions of bones that are just scattered everywhere, perhaps even bleached by the sun. It was a valley of nothing but death, a remnant of what was. And in the midst of that, God says, I will tell you to speak to these bones, and they will come alive, so that what? You may know that I am the Lord. And there is Christ in the midst with the prophet Ezekiel. And he said, say to these bones, come together. And the bones began to come together, and there was a great rattling. Can you imagine millions upon millions of bones and ribs and arms and legs and everything, skulls and everything that you could think of? And they all begin to come together in an instant. That when he spoke also, there was sinew that began to come on these bones perfectly. And then the muscle and the flesh began to form over these bones. But that's not enough. Now it says in that chapter that skin began to come over all of these bones. But now in this valley, what you have is millions of dead people. That's all you have. There's still no life. You could bring the bones together, the sinew together, the flesh together, the muscles together, the skin together. And there you have a person, but it's still a dead person. Notice what he does in verse 9 of Ezekiel 37. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Notice he says, I said the words exactly as God had said them. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and a breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood to their feet. There was life. It was by the word of the Lord. It was by the breath of God. And this is exactly who he says that Jesus Christ is. That which is dead, I am the life. And that which is dead, I will bring back to life. Do you remember what he said to Lazarus? Or did he do anything to Lazarus when Lazarus was lying 3 days dead in the grave? Did he go into the tomb? No, he did not. Did he put his hands upon Lazarus? No, he did not. What did he say to Lazarus? Words. Words. In the beginning was the Word. And proof positive, because he said, Lazarus, come forth. And in an instant, he did. A decaying body that would have stunk by now. And everything is beginning to fall apart in that body. In an instant, it all comes back together. In an instant, there is a breath of life. Why? By the words of life that Jesus Christ gave to Lazarus. That is why Jesus said in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And then he says, in the light. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or comprehended it. This is the light of creation. And there we see he's Creator God. He's the one that actually gives life. He speaks things into creation. He breathes life into creation. And all that exists and is upheld is by Jesus Christ. But do you know the first thing that he created when he created the earth? Before even that, what did he say? Let there be light. It's the first words out of his mouth. Why? Because the earth was without form and it was void. Before he spoke, there was nothing but darkness, lifeless. Nothing was there. But the moment that Jesus began to speak in Genesis, there was life. And he said, let there be light. Specifically in verse 3. And God saw in verse 4, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And then Jesus comes to earth and he uses the same words that he physically used in creation. Now he's talking and breathing into men's souls that have been so far away from him. And he says this to his own people that we will see that did not receive him. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How often we say to people, don't leave me in the dark. I don't know what you're talking about. Give me some light. Give me some understanding. And that when Jesus was to walk here, he was to walk as the light that shines in a very dark world. He's the only light that could shine in a dark world. And even in the world to come, that all those who believe in him and are in eternity with Christ, here's what he says in Revelation. Speaking of an eternity future. And I saw a temple in the holy city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun nor moon and shine upon it. For the glory of God gives its light. And the lamp is the Lamb, meaning Christ. By its light, the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring no glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. What is he saying? That light is not just created, it comes from God. And that it comes specifically by Jesus Christ. That life, all of life as we know it, comes by the person of Jesus Christ. It is all in him. And when he came into a dark world, There were some that saw him and some that did not. We will see that in thirdly in Jesus Christ in the new creation, verses 6 through 13. Very specifically in verse 6 through 9, there was a man, John the Baptist, who was sent from God. John the Baptist, many are familiar with him. And here's John the Baptist as a prophet of God in the time of Christ. By the way, John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus was. And Jesus, in bodily way, would have been considered young before John the Baptist. But he says he came as a witness, this John the Baptist, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And that is why Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. We will begin to see this light and why he calls himself light very specifically, and he uses these terms. You'll see the unbelief in the Creator God, Jesus Christ. All that is said, he's God. He was in eternity. He existed way before this, and he was there at the beginning. In fact, when he was at the beginning, he coexisted with the Father, and he is self-existent within himself as the second person of the Trinity as God, and that he created everything that you see, and the body that I feel, and the baby that I hold, and everything, the tree that I cut down, or that I see the beauty of flowers and leaves in the fall, and that I see the snow. It is all because of Jesus Christ, and all things remain and consist and uphold because of the very power of Jesus Christ. And now he's come into the world, and now he's come in as light. And whoever believes in him may not remain in darkness. So John very specifically repeats the word, he was in the world. This Jesus, this one that I've been talking about, who has always existed as God and with God, he was in the world. And the world was made through him. John specifically talks about in 1 John 1:2 his own personal account of when he walked with Jesus. That which was from the beginning, again, using very specific verse here, using the very specific verse in Genesis, he was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning what? He calls him what? The Word of Life. I was there with him. I'm an eyewitness, John says. I walked with him. I talked with him. We spent 3 years together. And he is the Word of Life. The life was made manifest. And we have what? He says, we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. In other words, the light came in. The Spirit of God of John chapter 3 said, breathe, have life, see Christ for who he is. These dear apostles, their eyes were open, their ears were open, and even Peter said, thou art the Son of God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, not because of their conclusion of their own flesh, but because God had revealed who Jesus was. The light and the life had come in. That is Jesus. That is God. That is the one who preexisted. That is the one who is self-existent. That is the one who created all things. That is the one who is with the Father from the beginning. But then he goes on. Yet the world did not know him. They did not recognize God, their creator, because of the spiritual darkness that they lived in. All of Rome, you would think, let me get this straight. The second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity in the Godhead, he's God. He created all things. And then he comes into the world and he's born in a stable where the cows eat and the sheep eat and manure is. And when he's born there, very few people other than shepherds and some wise men that came from a far different country than theirs, Persians most likely, they were the only ones that recognized him. Where were the kings? Where was Caesar? Where were the queens? Where were all the rich people? Why didn't they regale him with everything possible? Because everybody is in darkness. And they walked in darkness so that even when their own creator, the Son of God, would come, they wouldn't even recognize who he was. He was veiled because of sin. He was veiled because of rejection from the world. But not only from the Gentiles. Notice what he says next. He came unto his own people. He came unto Israel. And his own people did not receive him. Is this the same Israel that in whom God covenanted with Abraham? That whom God took out of Egypt with Moses and gave them a new land of Canaan, the land of Israel, that he covenanted with them, that they would be his people and he would be their God? You mean this same people? That when their creator, that when their covenant God entered into creation with them, they could not see who he was? No, because they were in darkness. They rejected him outright and crucified him. Both Jew and Gentile. The world rejects Jesus Christ as a whole. But there are a few that recognize him, and it is because of the Spirit of God. You remember that even in Scripture, there were those whose eyes, such as Simeon and Anna, Mary's bringing baby Jesus, as was the custom, to dedicate this child to God into the Jewish temple. There were rites and there were ceremonies and there were covenant reminders and all of what had been in the temple. And there Christ comes in. But the Pharisees, they're going about their day. The Sadducees, they're going about their day. The scribes and the lawyers, they're going about their day. In the temple, doing sacrifices. And all the priests that are in there, doing their sacrifices, doing all of these things. And as far as we know, only two people in there recognized who Christ was. And why? Because of the Spirit of God. There Simeon says, along with Anna, whose husband died when she was married to him for 7 years. And she lived day in and day out in the temple, fasting and praying in the temple. She was a prophetess of God, and he was a prophet. And there Simeon comes, and he holds the baby. And Anna at one point says, and even with him finally, our salvation has come. This baby. He would be the Savior, not just of Jews, but Gentiles. And he would rescue them from the darkness of their own soul and their own sin. And that many would reject him outright. They didn't even know that the Creator of all that is and upholds all things was in their midst in bodily flesh. They did not know. So many today, no matter how you do it, no matter how much scripture, they will not have light and life in their soul because they cannot see, they cannot hear. This is Jesus Christ, and their soul doesn't awaken to the fact he is Lord, he is Creator, he is God, the second person of the Trinity. He is the one that came and was crucified. He is the one that can forgive sin by belief. He is the one that gives the resurrection and the life. He is the one that gives eternal life. All of life consists in him. All of light. Oh, may we see and live by believing. And that is what he says here. But to all that receive him, who believed in his name, it is those he gave the right to become the children of God. John is saying this. I just told you who he was. That he existed as God always. That he existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. That he is self-existent with himself and himself as God. Why? Because he is the creator of all things. And this creator, Jesus Christ, is the very one who upholds all things in creation. He is the one that holds it together. He is the one that upholds it by his power. It is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ. I live and have my being. I breathe. I walk. I think. All because of one person, Jesus Christ. This is who he is. And when I walked away from God in my own sin, and when I walked away from God and rejected and said, I understand what you say about Jesus, that I don't believe that he is Jesus. This is the world. This was the Jews. And it continues to this day. But John, in no uncertain terms, says, I've told you who he is. I told you that he's the creator. He's light and life, both physically and spiritually. Now, here's the question for you. Will you receive him and believe in his name so that you may have right to become the children of God? And let me say very quickly, not all of mankind is the children of God. You're made in the image of God, but you are not in the children of God. Why? Because of sin. And because of our rebellion against the Almighty Creator, we have walked away and we have all gone astray like sheep. Now out into a desert of our own darkness and of our own selves, and we refused Jesus Christ. But now there's the invitation. I have shown you. Has the light come? Has the life come? Do you now see Jesus for who he is? Will you not come? And will you not receive the one who created you? The one who came to earth for you? Because in verse 14 of John 1, and the Word became flesh. For God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he dwelt among us. So that when Jesus even came to earth, here he is. He lived and he breathed. He grew tired. He ate and he drank. All of these things are true, yet without sin. He was perfect. In every way. And he dwelt. The word dwelt there means specifically he tabernacled among us. It's coming from Exodus. That God himself and all of his glory, all of his Shekinah glory, wrapped up in the body of the person of Jesus. By the way, that's not his last name, Christ. It is his title, Jesus the Christ. Was living among us. Walking among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there at the Mount of Transfiguration, there Christ stood, the man Christ Jesus, there he stood. And the apostles are there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his glory began to shine. What did it shine like? Light. A light that they could barely even see. Then the Father, the first person of the Trinity, shows up and says, listen, and this is for you. This is for all of us. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. This is my beloved Son. The testimony of the Father about the Son. You receive him. Will you believe in his name? Because not all men are children of God, only those who come to Christ and bow the knee and saying, you are Lord, you alone are my Savior, you are the alone our God, you alone are my Creator. I bow my knee for the one who died for me, that I might be sin and saved and forgiven of all my sin. But how did this happen? I received Christ. Many of you have received Christ and you look at this testimony that John has given and you say, yes, yes, I believe in him. I walk with him. I love him. My God, my Lord, my Creator who exists in the second person in the Trinity and the Godhead. Oh, yes, I give all that I have unto him. I hear the Father when he says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. I've heard Christ. He's opened my eyes and my ears and now I see see and now I hear all that he says, and I have received him and I believe in him. But how did this happen? He says in verse 13, who were born three things, not of blood. The first thing the Jews said to Jesus, who do you think you are? We're the children of Abraham. We have rights, you know. It's as if to say, nor of the will of the flesh, who do you think you are? I'm a good person. I go to church. I'm good to my family. I'm good to my community. I'm good to everything else. No. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, both Jews and Gentiles. You don't get to heaven by your own will, by flesh or by inheritance, because your parents went to church and were religious. Doesn't matter. It's your soul that needs to be awakened to see who Jesus Christ is by light and life. But how were we born? Three words. And this is my testimony of my own salvation before you. Three words. How are you saved? But of God. But of God. I am Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I came with complete ignorance of who Jesus Christ was. But then by the word of God, through the Bible, and by the very Spirit of God, God created me anew, not just outside, but he created me anew inside. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Why? Because of Christ. He not only created my body, but he created the new creation that is in me, and we call it born again. There comes a time when my life was born again. I was awake. I saw the light. I saw the life. And it was one word. It was in the word. It was Jesus Christ that was all these things to me. And how did it happen? Because the Holy Spirit came and he opened everything. And I was born again unto new life. And so the question becomes throughout this chapter, this part of the chapter, as he opens this entire book, this Jesus that I just told you about, John says, I just told you that he is God, second person of the Trinity. He's always existed. But I also told you that he is the creator of all things that exist, and without him, nothing would exist. I've told you this. This is who Jesus Christ is. He's the creator of you. He's your creator. And then John the Baptist says, will you see the light? Will you see the one who has come, the very creator, the very God-man that has come in the incarnation, who didn't remain a baby in a manger? He grew up to be a man. And when he comes to John the Baptist, there, behold, the Lamb of God. Will you see him? Will your eyes be open? Oh, beg God that my eyes would be opened, that my ears would be opened, that I may know Jesus Christ and receive him as my Lord and Savior. That I will not depend on my works, that I will not depend on my religion, that I will not depend on my parents, that I will not depend on anything else, and even my own will. Oh God, I know one thing. The way that I see Christ and who he is and receive and believe in him is because I must be born of you, and it is only of you that can make me spiritually come alive and breathe again. From the darkness to the light. That is Jesus. That is whom we celebrate on Wednesday. But in our church, that is whom we celebrate every day of our life. That is Jesus who died. He went to the cross, but he went there for me. And he paid the penalty of my sin. God, Creator, paying the penalty for my sin that I committed, and he who knew no sin became sin that I might have life. This is Jesus. Do you know him? This is the very one who resurrected from the dead. That he is the first of the resurrection. And all who believe on him will rise from the dead just like he. And this is the Jesus who ascended into the heavens and then there ascending to the right hand of the Father and sits down on the throne because he says, for all those who believe in him, it is done for you. You have eternal life. This is the Christ that we celebrate. But I wonder if the rest of the world that walks in such darkness knows who Jesus really is. Because John just told us through the inspiration of the Spirit. Will you come to him? Believers, will you celebrate him anew? Look at him. Look at Jesus in the face and saying, thank you, my Redeemer, my Lord, and my God. Let's pray. Father, again, what a glorious chapter, Lord, that we cannot even begin to plumb the depths of what John is saying through your Spirit. It is beyond us in so many different ways. But Lord, I pray that again, the only way to illumine is through the Word of God, the Bible, and by your Spirit. Lord, may we see Jesus for who he is, our God, our Creator, and our new life that he has given us. And we thank you. And that it is by his power that not only all things exist in creation, but that all things exist in new creation. Because the day that we came to receive and believe on Christ for who he is the day that you caused something new to happen in us. That these old, sinful, dark ways, you brought us from dark and then you just brought us right into the light. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We rebelled against you. We rejected Jesus Christ. We didn't want anything to do with him. We loved our darkness. And when Jesus as the light came into the world, we shrank back into the darkness. Now we have been brought to the light of who Jesus is. We say, my Lord and my God, I receive you and I believe in you that you died, that you rose again, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you hold all things in creation. You uphold them all simply by the word of your power. Oh, Father. May we understand that Jesus is also coming again. The word of the power is coming to restore his creation to perfection, without darkness, without sin, and all things will be made glorious again because of the Lamb. We praise you and we thank you for this. May we rejoice and worship in all of these things. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, because he is our Lord and our Savior, our God, our King. Amen.